The following recording is from the 18th of December 2022 and is the Zoom candlelighting service conducted by Reverend Rhonda Murray.
The Christmas tree is decorated, all the shopping's done, stockings line the fireplace, one by one. All the presents look so pretty, tied with brightly colored bows. All these things help make the season, still everybody knows. Christmas needs love to be Christmas. Christmas needs hearts full of joy. Carolers singing, silver bells ringing, laughter for each girl and boy. Christmas needs love to be Christmas. It's something we all need more of.
Her talk.
Thank you. Thank you, Julian. That is my favorite Christmas song. So I'm sorry if you have to listen to it every year, but it just simply for me is the best Christmas message of the whole lot. Christmas needs love to be Christmas. So Deb and I have started meeting with the children of Unity Brisbane once a month. And the wisdom of young minds is very inspiring. We were talking recently about Christmas Day not being the actual birthday of Jesus, but how good it is to have a birthday celebration for him anyway, and to celebrate his life and teachings. A very astute young lady who shall remain nameless said, "And it's good that we celebrate his birthday at the end of the year." I thought, how wise is that? It wouldn't be the same if we celebrated Christmas in the northern spring, our autumn, as would make sense if the shepherds really were looking after their sheep in the fields when Jesus was born. So, yes, I agree. It's good to celebrate Jesus' birth and his life and teachings at the end of the year, and then celebrate the new year that can be a celebration of new life. The new life we live when we come into awareness of the Christ within ourselves. She also said, it's good that we give presents at Christmas to show people we love them. That makes Father Christmas very appropriate, to be giving anonymous gifts and bringing joy to the world where joy is too often lacking. Christmas Christmas as a time to celebrate the Christ in Jesus can be a time to celebrate the Christ spirit in ourselves. It's time to remember who we are as spiritual beings. So a time of rebirth. Celebrating Jesus' birth can be a reminder of the Christ in ourselves, often forgotten in the busyness of life. So let's be aware today and for the following week of the rebirth in our own awareness of the Christ spirit that is within everyone and that Jesus demonstrated so powerfully. It's interesting to look at where our Christmas stories come from. And there's quite a bit of difference, and Julian touched on this last week, in the difference between the Gospels and the birth stories. The first Gospel written was by somebody that was 200 years later designated as Mark. And we don't really know who Mark is, but obviously he was a follower of Jesus' teachings. And in the year 70 Christian era, so we're looking at 40 years after the crucifixion, when the Romans finally got sick of these Jews who refused to do what they were told, and the Romans demolished the second temple and sent the Jews away into other areas. I think that this particular gospel writer thought, well, we better start writing down some of the stuff about Jesus, his life, his teachings, because with us all getting sent off into different areas, it could get lost. So thank you, Mark, whoever you were. Well done. Just the facts as Mark knew them at that time. So in about a generation later, in the late 80s, the Gospel of Matthew retells the Jewish stories to show Jesus as a prophet. And so we have the Moses-type stories. For instance, King Herod's plot to kill the baby Jesus, as we're told the Egyptians set out to kill the boy babies back in Moses' time. This idea of the Romans killing the Jewish babies, by the way, is totally unsubstantiated in Roman history. And the Romans were very good at keeping records of everything that they did, good and bad. So Matthew's main goal was to present Jesus as the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. The Gospel of John, which is the one we love in Unity because it's very metaphorical and we could say metaphysical, it was written at least another decade later, around about the 90s. And like in Mark, no birth story, just simply starts with Jesus the teacher. The last Gospel to be written was the Gospel of Luke, and this is another generation later again, around the years 110 to 120. So we're looking at 80 or 90 years after Jesus' crucifixion and 40 or 50 years after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Luke's version is to convince the Greco-Roman world that Jesus was a god like their gods. His story of Jesus' conception and birth echo the Roman gods. And there's no mention of fleeing to Egypt. It's the only gospel that tells of the journey to Bethlehem from Nazareth for, again, unsubstantiated Roman census. It reminds me of the story of the man who was traveling to a new city, and he spoke to a man at the gates and asked, "How many great men have been born here? I've heard the stories about all the great men from this area. How many great men have been born here?" And the man at the gate said, "Well, none." And he said, "No, I've heard of so many great men that were born here in this city." And the resident said, well, we've had a lot of babies born here, and a lot of them have gone on to do great things when they grew up. But no, we haven't had any great men born here. It's not the stories of Jesus' birth that matter. It's the fact that he was such a great inspirational teacher that his teachings went out into the world and have survived in various forms for over 2,000 years. The importance for us is that we can take the teachings of the kingdom within and follow Jesus into a spiritual rebirth that inspires us today. I believe the Apostle Paul, in his letters, the ones that he wrote while he was still alive, captured the spirit of Jesus' message. And if you've ever been in one of my Bible classes on the Christian scriptures, you'll be aware what I refer to about the letters that Paul wrote when he was still alive, which was about 7, and all the others were written decades later, purporting to be by him, but with quite messages that were very, very different to Paul's messages. But perhaps the best report we have of the Apostle Paul's teachings is the letter he wrote to the Romans, the Christian group that had already been established in Rome, explaining that he wanted to come and visit them. And so he was introducing himself and telling what it was that he believed. And so his Jesus story in that particular letter to the Romans is quite clear. And in chapter 12 of the letter to the Romans, we read, "Do not be conformed to the world," better translation, "do not be conformed to the things of this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable, to think with sober judgment." That's nothing to do with drinking habits. It's having a disciplined, controlled, sound mind, according to our innate faith. And he writes, "Let love be genuine. Love one another with mutual affection. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit." And he also wrote, "Serve the now moment," what we learned to call in ministerial school, serve the ministry in front of your nose, the one right now in the now moment. And those references to what the Fillmores later taught as the 12 powers, that I believe that must have been their inspiration, because 7 of the 12 powers are set out in that passage in Paul's letter to the Romans. But Myrtle was the one who picked up on it first, and the book Healing Letters, Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letters, in a chapter called Developing Our Faculties, give us the earliest unity writings of the 12 powers. Well, actually, she wrote 14. She called them Christ powers, gifts within that we can just use on a human level, or we can choose to develop to the spiritual level. Myrtle wrote of the need to develop all our Christ powers, which she lists as faith and love, wisdom, good judgment, and will, life, power, and strength, discrimination, imagination, understanding, renunciation, zeal, and order. So that's 14. That later versions combine wisdom and understanding into one power, and good judgment and discrimination into one power. I believe that Myrtle and Charles Fillmore's writings on our 12 Christ powers were their greatest teaching. And interestingly enough, Emmett Fox made the same comment about the Unity writings. When we use these powers within us, not just on the human level, which we've always done, but when we bring them to the spiritual level of our being, we are following in the footsteps of Jesus. He modeled faith, love, wisdom, imagination, zeal, and all the other powers. And we can identify his use of them in the stories about his teachings, his healings, and his miracles. I love that in a traditional Unity candlelighting service, we light the 12 red candles to symbolize these 12 spiritual gifts within us all. Then we can light our individual white candles from any of the 12 or from the larger white candle, which symbolizes the Christ in us and so contains, in effect, all of the 12 powers. And I would invite you, if you have a little candle there that you might like to light for our meditation, just to finish this, a couple more quotes from that wonderful book, Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letters. There will be nothing but order, harmony and perfect conditions when we learn to express our Christ self. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to read it again because I think that is just so beautiful. There will be nothing but order, harmony and perfect conditions when we learn to express our Christ self. She also wrote, one must understand and appreciate life with a goal of radiant health and freedom that comes from living from within, in harmony with the inner intelligence and the Christ pattern. Maybe we'll use at least one of those quotes on Thursday night for the next email, Julian, because that's Myrtle Fillmore at her best time. So let this Christmas be a time for rebirth into Christ awareness. And let the 12 Christ powers be our tools to bringing that awareness, the Christ awareness, into every part of our lives. And for our meditation, I'm actually going to use the 12 statements for those 12 red candles that we use in the traditional candle lighting service and which we'll be using tonight. So I invite you, if you do have a candle or if you have a virtual one on your computer, to light. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's lovely. So we've all got a virtual candle, whether you have a real one or not. And just to bring as much of tonight's service into this Zoom service that we can, I'm going to read these statements that are what we will read tonight as the red candles are being lit. So remember that we will already have the Christ candle, the white candle lit. And so we have that symbolically on the screen now. So I invite you to close your eyes if you wish, or watch the screen, whichever you want, or watch your candle. Just take some breaths to just make contact with that Christ within. Our inner Lord, omnipresence, whatever you like to call it. And to just know that all these 12 powers were a part of Jesus and his teachings and everything that he did. And through practicing them, we can bring ourselves into the Christ consciousness. So the first candle that we light is symbolized by the disciple Peter, who represents our gift of faith. And so let's just know, faith carries me through every challenge. Let's just sit and take that statement in. And thank you, Julian. The statements are up on the screen. Our gift of faith. Faith carries me through every challenge. And our second power is the gift of love, symbolized by the disciple John. I share my love with all around me. I share my love with all around me. Our next power is strength, symbolized by the disciple Andrew. I am strong and steadfast. I am strong and steadfast. Our next power is the gift of wisdom. Disciple James, son of Zebedee, symbolizes my gift of wisdom. I open myself to inner wisdom. I open myself to inner wisdom. Our next power is the gift of power itself, located in the throat and symbolized by the disciple Philip. My words express only good. My words express only good. The disciple Bartholomew symbolizes my gift of imagination. I am open to joyful, satisfying experiences. I am open to joyful, satisfying experiences. The disciple Thomas symbolizes my gift of understanding. As I understand my own spiritual reality, so I am. As I understand my spiritual reality, so I am. The disciple Matthew symbolizes my gift of will. I am willing to act on my intuition. I am willing to act on my intuition. The disciple James, the son of Alphaeus, symbolizes my gift of order. I prioritize my values and act on what is most important. I prioritize my values and act on what is most important. The disciple Simon symbolizes my gift of zeal. I live my life with joy and enthusiasm. I live my life with joy and enthusiasm. The disciple Thaddeus symbolizes my gift of release. I let go all regrets from the past. I let go all regrets from the past. The disciple Judas symbolizes my gift of life. I am filled with joy, peace, and gratitude. I am filled with joy, peace, and gratitude. And you might like to sit a little longer with those thoughts as we listen to the beautiful song, Just One Candle.
One candle burning bright, with one candle.